I get a call from Joe.
Yeah.
And so Joe tells me his news that he's leaving for Michigan to go and work for Salt Company there. And I was really excited for him because I knew he's from Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
And he gets to do ministry out there. And I was really excited for him. And at the end of that phone call, he just drops the bomb on me. And he's like, hey, do you want to take my job? And I was like, what? Like, I thought you were just telling me your news. And so he just was like, hey, I really want you to consider this. I think you would be great in this role. You were a DMEC student. You know what the DMEC life is like, as well as I think you would be great in a director role.
Welcome to Keystone Conversations, our podcast on the topics and issues important to the Keystone family. Our hope is to give insight, wisdom, and resources as you press on to know and follow Jesus. I'm Randy Woodbury, executive pastor here at Keystone, and with us, lead pastor Brent Minter.
Good afternoon.
And a special guest.
A very special guest.
Garrett Belzer, our new SALT director.
Ooh.
Let's go.
How's it feel like when we use the name and the title? Does it feel good? Does it feel weird?
It feels weird.
Yeah?
Yeah, having a title behind my name is different. I'm used to having like different titles, so SALT director is like, wow.
Wow.
Is this the best title you've had?
I think so.
That's what are some other titles?
We'll get into this later. Rancher, Garrett Belzer Rancher.
Okay. That's a flex.
That's pretty good.
That's a very, very strong flex.
But, I bet you don't have a business card that says that.
No, I wish.
But you probably have a cowboy hat that does.
I do.
There you go.
So we're so happy, Garrett, you joined us. So our whole goal today is that we're going to introduce you to everyone. And it's Brent was just mentioning before we were starting that, you know, given our size and complexity now, it's sometimes hard to get the name and the person out. Yeah. So this is just another way to do it. And it's such a joy to do.
Yeah. I mean, all of our SALT students have met Garrett, but, you know, the church at large has not. And so this is a really fun way on just a little informal conversation to help people know who's giving leadership in different areas of our church. And I think Garrett's certainly worthy of being known.
So Garrett, just help everyone, you know, learn more about you. Let's kick us off. Tell us about your family background, growing up. How'd you meet your spouse? All the fun stories.
Yeah. Yeah. So I actually grew up in the Des Moines area, not far from here in Grimes. So I'm not super far. Grew up in a pretty big family. I mean, I have three siblings, so not crazy big, but I was the middle child, so I was the troublemaker of the family.
Love it.
But grew up in a believing home, went to church, grew up going to church and all that. But I was definitely the black sheep. I tried to do everything I could to get all the attention. And I still have a loving family. They still live in Grimes. All my siblings are close by. Both my brothers are married. And all attending churches in the area. So it's been really cool to grow up in the area and stay in the area. I can get into this later, but moved to Texas for a year and now we're back in the area. So it's been really cool to be back with family, connect with family. But yeah, I grew up in the area, and as did my wife. So I met my wife when I went to Iowa State after I graduated high school. We met freshman year. So it was really fun to, yeah, I hopped on campus and right away I met this beautiful woman named Morgan. And right away we met through SALT Company up in Ames.
Classic. Yet again.
Classic.
Add that to the stats. but yeah, we met the first week. How we met is up for debate. She would say it was a conversation in one of our dorm rooms. Mine is actually, I'm pretty sure we met volleyball nights. We were playing volleyball, and I believe it was more than a dozen of us packed into a Suburban. And
so, but what you're saying is she forgot about you.
Possibly, yeah. Okay. I mean, I wasn't that memorable freshman year, but I remembered her. So
I mean, we'll have to give her equal opportunity. We'll let her come on and give her story.
She would love that. but no, we met freshman year, and we have kind of a crazy dating story because we weren't together the entire time. We actually broke up a few times, mostly because I was new in my faith. I mean, I grew up a Christian, but I hadn't fully given my life to Christ until I joined SALT Company. And so I was very young in my faith. And she was a very strong believer, but it was young and dating. She had never dated anyone before.
Yeah.
And so we were just, it was a clunky, like getting to know how to do this, do it right. And so over the course of a couple of years, we were on and off, and it took a while, but man, God was really, really, really kind. And we got married in 2024. So that was really fun, but it took a while and a lot of prayer. And we were patient, and we started dating the right way the third time. And we got a lot of people around us. And yeah, it was just really confirming. We've been married almost a year now.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And it's been the best thing in my life. So
I love it, so man. Far. And so you just kind of mentioned, like, you started following Christ at Salt Company. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, clearly there's a correlation between your love to serve the church through Salt Company
yeah.
and what God did in your heart in Salt Company. So walk us through that.
Yeah.
Like, what was that like as a student and at Iowa State? But you might want to mention where you were also going to school at the moment
yes.
as well. So talk to me, just what was that like as a student to be confronted with the Bible
yeah.
as a college student, and how did that interact with you?
Yeah. When I think of Salt Company now on the back end, I think of myself and my story, like what Salt Company does exists for people like me. Showing up to a campus, not really knowing how to get involved or how to grow in their faith. And that's exactly where I got introduced to Salt Company. I stepped on campus and I knew a couple of people who were involved in Salt. My older brother was a Salt leader, and so he invited me in. But really up until that point, I wasn't really taking a whole lot of initiative in my faith. And so Salt Company, I went and I heard the gospel very clearly, and I understood very fast what it meant to actually be a Christian and walk with people in community. And I got baptized that year. And so it was just a radical, like dark to light moment for me that
wow.
year. Really the biggest thing was when I got into a connection group. It was me and probably 10 other guys my age and these college seniors who I thought were so cool. And they, like night one, we had so much fun, and then they sat us down and told us about all the things that they had done in their life. And I was like, I have never heard this before. Like, I've never heard someone confess sin and share their story like that. And I immediately was attracted to it. And so I went from a kid in high school who really hid everything in my life. Mm-hmm. No one really knew who I was, to in college, get introduced to the gospel. I dive in head first, and now if you meet me for 15 seconds, you know everything that's happening in my life. Like I went from you didn't know anything to you knew everything about me. And so, yeah, Salt Company was really where Jesus met me face to face. I often say he wrecked my life. He turned it around.
Mm, wow.
And he also turned my priorities around. So yes, I actually transferred schools at Iowa State. I wanted to, honestly, like I wanted to go to a 4-year school and then on the other end, like make a lot of money with a job. And after that year, I realized, like, I have a gift and a passion for helping people. And so that introduced the idea of going into healthcare. And the best avenue I thought of was nursing. So I got introduced to that right away. And the Iowa State didn't have a nursing program. Mm. And DMAC did. So that's
the
when DMAC came into play.
Yes, DMAC.
The Harvard of the Midwest.
That's
Bears.
Right.
Go Bears. So yeah, I after freshman year, I transferred. I got a job at Mary Greeley in Ames and just worked and did like a gap year. And then I was in the DMAC nursing program for my like junior, senior year and graduated with a nursing degree. So
first Salt director of DMAC. That yeah. is
that literally graduated from DMAC.
A DMAC grad.
There yeah, you yeah. go, trailblazer.
Yeah. But I mean, but the whole time, you didn't come and you weren't a part of our Salt Company.
Right.
You stayed in Iowa State.
Yep.
Very engaged there. That was your friend group. That's just where you finish your courses out.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was taking classes at DMAC, and it was a lot of, it was during COVID, so things were a lot online as well.
Yeah.
That's a whole different story, but yeah, I stayed in Ames. I lived with all of my best friends who we were all Salt leaders for 3 years. I went overseas with Salt Company.
Pancake House?
I lived in the Pancake House, yeah.
The infamous Pancake House.
The infamous, the very dirty, very cheap Pancake House. But yeah, I made some of my favorite memories and all of my best friends those 3 years of college. And they're still my best friends to this day. So,
incredible.
Yeah.
So walk us through. So we get to the point, you and Morgan are married, you have a mm-hmm. nursing degree background. How did you get into ministry
yeah.
and get to here today?
Yeah, so my last year being a leader at Salt in Ames, a lot of my mentors and a lot of my friends were like, you should think about doing ministry. And I didn't know that that was an option for me. I just mm-hmm. thought like it was cool for other people. But for me, I was like, I don't think I can do that. And it wasn't until I had two specific people speak into my life saying, actually, I see gifts in you that you should pursue this. You should see what God could do. And so Ames has wow. a residency program. And so I was a resident on Salt staff in Ames for 2 years. So I worked there. It was a lot of discipleship with students. I did a lot of meetings and one-on-ones, sharing the gospel with lost students, and got to tinker around with like different things in ministry. And I learned very quickly that this is actually what I wanted to do. My original desire to help people in healthcare, it was confirmed in ministry. I wanted to help people in their souls more so than their bodies. And so that was like a really confirming thing for me of I want to walk with people in hard times. And it was also very confirming. I got opportunities to teach and to do practical things in ministry that I really enjoyed. And so that was kind of the beginning steps of getting called into ministry. And then it was prolonged by going into seminary. So I've been doing seminary classes kind of on the side during ministry. Mm. And that has even further pushed me into wanting to do ministry for a career and realize it as a calling in my life.
Yeah. Garrett, I know that you, this is a unique story for you. And it, in our network, people would know about this. And I think people of Keystone, depending on when you got here, would know about this. But June 2nd is a date that you'll never forget.
Yeah.
If I'm not wrong, you started June 1st, your residency, and then June 2nd happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so explain, if our listeners don't know what that is, explain what June 2nd is. And kind of just, that's a moment of ministry that you had to walk through and learn through and lead through and weep through.
Yes.
And so I explain that.
Yeah. So June 2nd, 2022 was my, really my first day as a SALT staff member. It was my first day of like actual ministry. And so that night we had our SALT company, our first summer SALT. And so we showed up, we did all the things to prep. And about 10 minutes before our service started, we were all hanging outside. And there was a man who had a grievance against one of the people, one of the girls that was coming to SALT company. They had a relationship. And he brought a gun and he opened fire on this girl and her friend and then ended up ending his own life. And so it was a very public, very traumatizing event for the ministry and myself as well. And so I had just, a month before, just had graduated from nursing school. And so I had 100 people or so who were there outside looking to me as like, hey, we know that you have some sort of background in healthcare. Like, what do we do? And so there was still this, like, is there danger? Is there not? And so there's this very traumatic event. And so yeah, June 2nd is like a day that really shaped my life in a lot of ways, affected me, obviously, like personally, spiritually, mentally, and affected a lot of people. So you talk about first day on the job. I am in charge of taking care of the people who are at this event and walking with them, learning how to like, grieve with people. I learned very quickly that in moments like these, in the darkest moments of people's lives, words fall very short. And so I learned very quickly how to sit with people.
Wow.
And so that was very, it was not easy, but I learned very quickly. And also just like on top of the normal ministry schedule of walking with people, adding this massive traumatizing event to a ministry, how to take care of people through that. And then also like how to take care of myself. Like there was an easy opportunity for all of us on staff to be like, you know what, we're done. Like we could have just been done and nobody would have said anything. They would have been like, you know what? That's okay. Yeah. But
you
to actually...
You showed up.
Yeah.
You got dealt the bad hand.
And we just decided, you know what? We're going to keep going. And so that there was a perseverance that had to be molded in like the first week of our job. And so, a traumatizing day that I always look back on and be deeply grieved by, but in a really weird in God-glorifying way, I'm thankful for the opportunity I got to sit with people in those moments. So that was a kickstart to ministry that I never envisioned for myself or anybody else, but one that set me up in a really unique fashion, for sure.
So started as a residency at Cornerstone, and sometime in May, you took a phone call or a text from this guy named Brent at Keystone.
Yes.
So how did we go from you did a two-year residency in Ames to now you're sitting at Keystone, SALT director?
Yes. So yeah, I did 2 years of residency in Ames. I finished in 2024, that May. And I got a lot of wisdom from my pastor at the time. And he just basically spoke a lot of life into me and saying, hey, I think you should do ministry in the future. But I think with what happened in June 2nd and you getting married, it could be really wise to take a year off from ministry and do seminary and work with your hands. And so that was kind of the vision that I got. And it was totally a God thing. That was the vision for the last year of my life. So basically that May, a year goes by, and in that year, Morgan and I get married. So we got married in September of 24, and immediately I moved down to Texas. And so even though Morgan and I met at Iowa State, she graduated and she got a job down in Waco, Texas, with Magnolia. Many people know what Magnolia is,
for sure.
But she is an incredible writer. And so she fit in really, really well down there. So she had been there for 2 years. I had worked in Ames for 2 years. We get married in September and I join her in Waco.
Yeah.
So I join her, we get married. And so really my job at that point was to do seminary. I found a job on a ranch, which was really, really awesome. I worked with cattle for a year. And
I love that.
Which is so
fun. The level of jealousy that I have is not right.
Yeah. So that was super
totally
fun.
Balanced by my lack of jealousy.
Yes.
I'm not glorifying it, but that just
that
like go and work cattle. That feels so therapeutic to me.
It was God. That was a gift from God to just work
in your hands. Yep. Get sweaty, dirty, nasty. Just work.
It was exactly that, and it was super fun. So I learned a lot through that and worked really hard. Obviously, because cattle is not. You know, for the faint of heart, but I loved it. It was super fun.
Yeah.
But also another part of the reason why the break from ministry was really to pour into my marriage. And so that was a big piece for Morgan and I to start our marriage away from family. We created our own community down there, got plugged into a local church where we weren't on staff on, we just served. And so, man, that first year, I will always be thankful for our first year of marriage just because of what it did for me personally, just getting away a little bit from the ministry of outpouring to people and just really focusing in on being a husband, being a leader, serving a local church, and then being open-handed with the future.
Yeah.
So,
and I'll just be clear, though, because we track these things. You moved to Texas first and then moved back. That does not count as a person from the South.
Yeah, that's true.
Totally. So totally. when Matt Mabry comes back or something, you're not part of the Southern crew.
Yeah, I don't
we claim you for the North.
Stuff. Sure. He is back because we're preaching through Ezra. He's native to Iowa.
Yes.
You were exiled into Waco.
And I made the journey back.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's a little bit of your Waco story, but how did you get here?
Yeah.
Because that wasn't your plan.
Yeah.
Like, this is a unique story, and I'd love to hear you tell it, because I know how I tell it.
Yes. So before I went to Texas, my time in Salt Company, I had made a really good relationship with Joe, who was the director here before me. We were good friends, and anytime we would have a conference event or a global event, he would seek me out, and we would hang out. And it was a really cool friendship. And so a year passes after I leave ministry, and in May of this year, I get a phone call from Joe. And at this point, Morgan and I, so I have to backtrack. I'm getting ahead of myself. So Joe and I have this relationship, and we've talked before about ministry stuff. In January and February of this year, I got a call from Salt Ames. And so they invited me back of like, hey, we're thinking about bringing you back on staff as a ministry leader. And so Morgan and I were both feeling like we wanted to go home, but we were unsure about this opportunity. I had been in Ames before, and so, but I love the people there. I love the ministry. It was
clearly, clearly
very formational. Part of my life was in Ames, and so I have a deep love for the people there and the ministry that's happening there. And so to be part of that again was really exciting. And so through a lot of prayer, we were like, man, is this the time? Is this the right time? We brought our community in, and so what was really clear was it felt like God was bringing us back home. Mm. But working in Ames was kind of interesting because we were wrestling with that of like, is this right? Is it not? And so we said yes. We were like, God, we're going to say yes to you, and we're going to keep our hands open. And so that's what we did. We said yes to the offer in February, and so we were planning on moving back this summer. But I get a call from Joe, and so Joe tells me his news that he's leaving for Michigan to go and work for Salt Company there. And I was really excited for him because I knew he's from Michigan, and he gets to do ministry out there, and I was really excited for him. And at the end of that phone call, he just drops the bomb on me, and he's like, hey, do you want to take my job And I was like, what? Like, I thought you were just telling me your news. And so he just was like, hey, I really want you to consider this. I think you would be great in this role. You were a DMACC student. You know what the DMACC life is like, as well as I think you would be great in a director role. And so his belief in me really sparked a curiosity of like, man, I think this might be it. This might be why we felt the nudge to keep our hands open. And so I brought that to Morgan and brought that to all of our people. And person after person, mentor after mentor, everyone was like, this is right. You should do this. Like, yeah. Keystone is a really healthy church. The Salt Company, they're unique in terms of their reach at DMACC and the time that the students are there, but you know it. And so it felt like the right move in accepting the job. So yeah, we got the phone call. I think from the time that I got the phone call from Joe, you called me the next day, Brent, and yeah. we talked about it. I think a week and a half from there, I accepted the job and transitioned from Salt Company in Ames to Salt Company in Ankeny.
Yeah, I mean, it was a what's fun is Joe mentioned you, and I kind of like, okay, I've never heard of him, but I talked to two other people in the network.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, and two different people told me, you should talk to Garrett.
That's
wild. It's just bananas.
That's wild.
Like, because I didn't know you. When yeah. Joe mentioned you, I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, and then you get a corroboration of like three people. It's like, you should talk to Garrett. Anyways, crazy how that happens. This is so a couple things when like, these are like not, it doesn't feel like in this, it feels like, God, you're setting this up, but this isn't the reason we made the decision. But as you're making decisions, yeah. I think two pieces that are like bananas are, number one, you went to DMACC.
Yep.
And that's like that's a unique thing. Not everyone has that experience. But number two, tell them about your apartment, which yeah. I just think is hilarious.
Yes. Yeah. So Morgan and I decided, what kind of pushed the needle was we decided to get an apartment in Ankeny because it was halfway between Ames. It was like 20 minutes to Cornerstone yep. Drive. And it was close to Des Moines, where both of our families are. And we didn't know that Morgan could work remotely. And so we were thinking maybe she would have to get a job in Des Moines.
Yeah.
So we wanted to split the difference. And so we got a job here in Ankeny.
Or an apartment.
An apartment here in Ankeny. And we didn't really think anything of it until I called you and told you that.
And I'm like, I think you are the closest person.
Yes.
To Keystone.
It's a 4-minute commute for us to the church.
Bananas, yeah. How good God has been in there. Well, I think a couple of things I want to affirm, Garrett, is having conversations with you. Things that we've noticed is carefulness. What you said is just sitting with people. You're careful, high discernment, high love for God. Something you told me that I haven't forgotten and it stuck with me, you almost have an addiction to confessing.
Yeah.
And I that sense of, there's a sense of you of like perceived godliness, you know? And I think that speaks so much power. I recently heard a pastor say, with purity there is power. And I see you cultivating that. And you're making, in your first time to direct, you know, direct a Salt Company.
Yeah.
That's a learning curve.
For sure.
But man, we are just so encouraged watching you step into that and learning to lead and how you're approaching those things.
Absolutely. And it just shows God moves always.
Yeah.
And sometimes he moves fast.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's the way it is.
Yeah, yeah.
So now let's get to a different part of the questions.
Great.
Because that was awesome and
sure.
spiritual and cool. Now we're going to do some quick fire.
Okay.
Okay, so we want your off the cuff first one. This is how people are going to know you.
Great.
Okay? So we're going to have some fun here and just go with it. So let's start. I'll start. We'll go back and forth here, Brent.
Okay.
What's your go-to coffee order?
At like any coffee shop?
Yeah.
Probably just a caramel latte. Just a simple.
Excellent. He's a good man of God.
Caramel latte. Mm.
You and Randy need to go get your caramel lattes together and talk about
enjoy it all.
Frou-frou drink stuff.
Yeah.
If you could instantly become an expert in any skill, what would it be?
Oh, that's a good question. I instantly think of the piano. Like, I feel like if there's a piano in a room,
that'd be good.
I'm not musical at all. I have no musical bone in my body. But if there's like a piano in a room and you could just sit down and play it, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Luke is a baller. You should just go take some lessons.
He needs to teach me.
He can play.
Yeah.
What movie or TV show that you've watched so many times, but you still love it?
Yeah. Lord of the Rings, that trilogy. I grew up watching all the Lord of the Rings. And so that is something that I make an effort to watch all three of those movies yearly. So
As you should.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Excellent. So have you ever watched the director's cut?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. All the extended versions. Yeah.
Have you ever watched the director's cut while sipping a caramel latte?
No, that's a good idea.
Oh, that's a good idea. You should go to Randy's basement and y'all just have a day of movies.
We'll be down there for 18 hours.
So here's my
Slice
son.
Of heaven, possibly.
Yes.
My son loves The Lord of the Rings. And I have never watched it and been like, this is horrible. But I often, like, they're so long you can take multiple naps.
Yeah.
Like, they're just.
Why would you?
Though? But why would you, yeah, why would you do that?
Whatever that is. Because I Rain and I go back and forth about certain movies. I'm like, I just don't get it. I don't think they're good. I think Lord of the Rings is good. It just is hard to hold my attention.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I respect it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. What's your favorite comedy movie or TV series?
Comedy movie. My family, we grew up watching Nacho Libre. So it's one of those movies that I can quote that.
Might have died a little bit.
Yeah.
There's a family honor and heritage there. He's honoring his family.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. As a family, we watched that and quoted it so much that our church back at home called my dad Nacho. So that's, yeah.
So it's in the water.
Yeah.
Okay. Most surprising part of Keystone so far? It can be good or bad.
Yeah. I'm like in a good way, really surprised at the amount of like grandparents that come here. I think it's so cool to see like generations of families like all on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I hadn't really seen that before. I grew up in a church that was very generational.
Yeah.
But to see like everybody really interact, I don't know. I loved it. And I thought that was really, really cool. Cause I grew up in Grimes. So my idea of Ankeny is different than now that I'm living here. Yeah. And so there's like, I'm like, oh yeah, young families and stuff. But to see like the grandparents that are here now is really cool.
You know what's crazy is that the number of grandparents that are moving to town to be near their young grandkids is so much that developers literally call it grandparent housing.
That is wild.
So developers are developing houses to attract
the
empty nesters / early the retirees so that they move here. It's a whole demographic in our city.
Yeah, that shocked me.
Yeah, yeah.
So one of the changes we made to our hiring process is you get moved up the priority if you know soccer.
Sure.
You root for the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have to augment that now because we should have a third question.
You're a heretic. EPL, so you're a heretic.
You root for Man City.
Yes.
So my question is, clearly rooting for Man City in the Premier League is a horrible sin. How are you going to repent?
That is crazy. It's not a sin to win. Hey, we're successful. I feel like that's jealousy. I don't know. We might have the tradition,
be inaccurate.
We're building.
Yeah, however. I mean, complete jealousy. They have,
Just remember, last shall be first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yes,
so
I'm a Premier League fan.
If you're listening, I don't know that we've talked about here, if you've seen Randy in outfits, you know this, but Randy is a big EPL follower. Mm. I mean, I think at a levels that most Americans like follow football and whatever, but you follow it well, very well known and versed about it, but you also root for the Tottenham Hotspurs.
Correct.
And
glory, glory.
So for the record, I am a big Tottenham Hotspurs fan as well, but if I have to choose... Randy didn't force me, but I started liking them, and then he poured fuel on that.
I mean, it was one of my best evangelistic opportunities.
And it works, right? It works. Now my two favorite Spurs people are no longer.
True.
Yeah.
And I have had a season where I haven't watched any sports, so I don't know anything that's happening, but I stand with Randy. Like, you are coming against both of your bosses in some senses that cheering for the wrong
people.
We got
good development options for personal development for 2025, 26.
Please.
So that's good.
That's wild.
Early bird or night owl?
Night owl. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, night owl. I want to be an early bird really badly, but there's just something in me that I have to be awake at night.
So like what time do you go to bed?
I fall asleep probably 11, 1130. But if there's like something to do, so in college I would get all my homework done between like 11 and 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like how my body would prefer to operate.
Yeah, in seminary, I got all my homework done from 3 to 6 a.m.
Another
level. Oh, to be in your 20s again.
Yeah.
To be in your 20s.
Yeah.
Last one for you. What's the one thing people would be surprised to learn about you in a fun way?
In a fun way. See, my original one, my answer for that usually is that I'm a nurse, so I'm a licensed. Yeah.
That gave that one up.
I gave that one up. And another one
tell me your worst story of trying to get fluids out of a human body and you just missed it.
Honestly, yeah, it's less of getting it out and it's more of cleaning it up. That's where the horror stories come. Oh, man.
Would the ranching Venn diagram and the nursing Venn diagram overlap more than I realize?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so you can't do nursing, you can't do ranching.
Yeah.
What else you got?
Dang, that's hard. I feel like I gotta really dig
all your
here.
Party conversations, like people ask you, like those are easy to pull from.
Yeah. Man, I'm trying to think really hard here. Again, like soccer is something that's not
normal,
but here it's, I guess, taken. I can't use that one. So, man, this is really tough. I'm feeling like, yeah, this is a good one. I love to help on the farm. So like this isn't ranching, but like I will make an effort to go to my family's farm in the fall, winter, and then the spring. So planting and then harvesting.
Yeah, yeah.
That's something that I really enjoy doing in my free time when I have the opportunity to. But if that's discluded from ranching...
No, that's good. That's
okay.
Good.
My other one is I love movies, and so my favorite individual pastime is I will go to a movie theater by myself, get a bucket of popcorn and a Cherry Coke, and watch a movie that's in theaters, yeah.
That's solid.
Yeah.
That's respectable.
I might shed a tear of happiness and joy.
Okay, to end it, because this is all the cutes, you have a new family member coming on board.
Yes, we do.
Tell them about what's happening in the Belzer house.
We're bringing home a son, not a human son, a son with four legs. My wife and I are getting a dog this Friday. So it's a Bernedoodle. So a Bernese Mountain Dog and a Poodle mix. The estimates, he's a standard, he's not a mini. So the estimate is anywhere from, conservative estimates is 60 to 100 pounds.
Oh my.
So, and we're...
That's basically a young teenager that you're adding.
Yeah, just another human walking around. His name is Alico. The name comes from Waco. So in Waco, the tallest building in downtown Waco is the Alico Building.
Wow.
And it's the only building that survived the tornado that wrecked Waco in the 50s.
Wow.
And so we decided to name him after that to remember.
To remember your time in Waco.
Yeah.
And to give context, Garrett graciously offered our staff pictures of the different options they had among the litter.
We did.
And I think it's fair to say I've never seen, one, the staff more distracted for a longer period of time.
And two,
the biggest debates.
Yeah.
About which one should win.
It was the most vicious, passionate debate.
It was, people were yelling. I mean, I posted all the pictures and said, who should we bring home? And I think I refreshed it maybe 20 minutes later and had like 30 responses.
What just happened?
People care about this. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Garrett, man, welcome aboard. We're so thankful to have you here. Excited. You know, we didn't even talk about the importance of Salt Company.
Yeah.
Kickoff is coming. I mean, this is where salt companies, you know, make their money.
Yeah.
As it were. It's like when it's kickoff time, it's time to hit the campus, hit and find where the students are living for us.
Yeah.
And go get them. And so we're excited, praying that God does incredible things for kickoff. But thanks for being here. We're so excited to see what happens at Salt Company under your leadership.
Absolutely. I'm happy to be here and I'm really thankful.
Awesome.
Thanks, everyone, for being part of the conversation today. If you'd like to know more about Keystone General, hear sermons, or listen to more conversations, please visit KeystoneLife.com. Until next time, keep the conversation going.